It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we come now to our weekly politics roundtable. As you know, Illinois had a primary election earlier this week. We had a full segment talking about the results of that on Wednesday with Rick Pearson, chief political reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Frankly, there's not a lot to add to that conversation, so if you're interested in those results, I'd recommend you can listen to it on our website or podcast feed. Find that at 21stshow.org. Today, instead, we're going to spend our entire Friday political segment focusing on what's been happening at the national level. With us to talk about that, as always, is Linda Kenyon, who covers the Congress for Illinois Public Media. Linda, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's good to be here.
I want to begin with the Israeli-Palestinian war, and specifically some remarks that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer made last week.
At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. At a time when so many Israelis have lost their confidence in the vision and direction of their government.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer is the senior most member of the U.S. Senate, I should say, not in age, but in terms of his ranking. He is the Senate Majority Leader. He's also Jewish, and he is the most outspoken member of Congress, who is also Jewish, to say negative things about Israel. He made a scathing speech on the Senate floor saying that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way, referring specifically to the deaths of more than 30,000 Palestinian civilians in Gaza since Israel went after Hamas in Gaza following the Hamas attack on October 7th against Israel. And so the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, was very bold in his criticism of Netanyahu. Keep in mind, he has known Netanyahu and has been friends with Netanyahu for decades. But he says on this issue, Israel may win the war, but may lose the war of public opinion. And that would become a major threat to Israel. So he was very negative about Netanyahu. It was a bold speech. The White House press secretary was asked if he cleared it first with the president, and Karine Jean-Pierre said they were aware that the speech was going to happen, but there was no need to clear anything that Senator Schumer says, and that there is a co-equal branch of government, and he can say what he wants. And so he did, and Netanyahu responded, very angry at Senator Schumer, and saying basically that his comments against the way that Netanyahu is waging the war against Hamas is really a scathing rebuke, not of Netanyahu, but of the Israeli people and their democratic system of government. And if he is critical of Netanyahu, then he is critical of the Israelis, and that if they don't like what he's doing, they can vote him out.
If they had the opportunity for an election, but all right.
That's a different issue.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, NBC News this week talked to Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, who said it used to be a bipartisan cause, the future of Israel. He is making it a one-party monopoly. That's a serious mistake for Israel, he being Netanyahu again. I wonder how you're seeing the political dynamics of this evolve as the war continues to play out. It seems there's been quite a shift.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see this playing out. What we had was earlier this week, Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke virtually to Senate Republicans, not Democrats. And when Senator Schumer was asked if he would invite Netanyahu to speak to Democrats only, the response was, I would welcome Netanyahu to speak to a bipartisan Senate, not to one party or the other. When asked if he could speak before the U.S. House of Representatives, House Speaker Mike Johnson said that he would be very happy to invite Netanyahu to address a joint session of Congress if Senator Schumer would agree to that, Of course, a joint session of Congress would also be bipartisan, so it would be hard to see if Schumer would reject that request. But the House Speaker said if Schumer were to reject the request, then he would invite Netanyahu to speak to just the House of Representatives. But again, then it would be bipartisan. It wouldn't be just the House Republicans, and certainly not just the House Democrats. So this seems to be an issue right now that is fracturing the parties. Generally speaking, Democrats and Republicans have been very supportive of Israel, but Senator Schumer was very disappointed that Netanyahu only addressed Senate Republicans and only asked to address one party at a time.
What could this practically mean in terms of future aid to Israel, weapons, money, that sort of thing?
You know, I don't see that it would affect any future aid to Israel because, generally speaking, there is still a huge amount of support for Israel. However, where Israel is losing the support is when it comes to humanitarian aid and the treatment of Palestinian civilians. The killing of more than 30,000 Palestinian civilians caught in the crossfire in Israel's war against Hamas, which, again, I remind people, did not come out of the blue. Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th and killed a lot of innocent civilians and took many hostage, many of whom remain hostage. And there are negotiations that have been ongoing to try to release those hostages and secure a ceasefire, but so far, no agreement.
And that point you raised of the civilian casualties in Gaza is a big sticking point for a lot of voters. We've been hearing about that here in Illinois. There have been pressure in various communities from Chicago all the way down to smaller towns like Urbana, calling for government officials to pass ceasefire resolutions. We even heard from some listeners earlier this week when we had a voting segment. Somebody named Jane in Urbana sent us an email and said they had voted, and despite the fact that they volunteered for both President Biden and Representative Nikki Budzinski's campaigns, quote, "I could not vote for them today. Although I appreciate both of their recent calls for a ceasefire, the words are empty if they continue to vote to send military aid to Israel despite the horrendous and unprecedented loss of civilian life and the desperate humanitarian crisis in Gaza," end quote. That's one voter. But I wonder how you're seeing Democrats in particular, Linda, reckon with this sort of pressure that they're feeling from within their coalition.
They're feeling a lot of pressure indeed, and they're not happy with the situation. And that is why they've been pressing quite a bit for some kind of a resolution, a ceasefire deal. There are negotiations going on between Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who is in Cairo, Egypt, and the representatives from Qatar and other Arab nations. And they've been trying to reach a deal. They say they've been narrowing their differences and that there are still some differences that remain. But their three goals that they have so far, which there is a consensus, is a ceasefire as soon as possible with the release of hostages, more humanitarian aid, and then there is the concern about what would be a long-term peace solution, including what is known as a two-state solution, one for the Palestinians, one for Israel, with a buffer zone or a guarantee to Israel that it would not be attacked constantly from Hamas on the other side of that border from Gaza. So Democrats and Republicans are very concerned about the longer that this war drags on, the more difficult it will become to support Israel. But even Senator Schumer, while he was critical of Netanyahu, did say that the U.S. has been Israel's greatest friend since its inception and would continue to do so. However, I will say that there was a question asked in a White House briefing just a few days ago to National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, who was asked, how can the U.S. justify all of its calls for humanitarian aid and criticizing Israel for, not opening up more entry points for said aid, et cetera, and yet it continues to provide weapons to Israel, which is causing the need for this humanitarian aid in the first place.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are in the middle of our Friday politics roundtable, talking about some of the big stories that have been coming out of Washington with Linda Kenyon, who covers the Congress and Washington government and politics for Illinois Public Media. I want to move now to talking about more domestic matters. Once again, you and I have had this conversation, it seems, many times now in the past few months, but we are looking at a potential government shutdown. It seems maybe less likely this time than some in the past. There's a lot of quickly moving events on this. I should note for listeners, Linda and I are speaking Thursday evening, but I understand there is a deal that could pass once and for all, legislation to fund the government through the rest of the fiscal year. Can you just take us through that?
Yeah, this is what they call a minibus on Capitol Hill.
Not the omnibus, but a minibus.
Yes, exactly. And it's called a minibus because it doesn't fund all of the government agencies and departments. It lumps together a handful of them, I believe, actually more than a handful. So a handful and another finger. So six government agencies and departments. And this is a very big one. This one includes funding for Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, Labor, and the Department of Defense. So this package must be passed by the midnight deadline Eastern Time on the 22nd of March, or there will be a partial government shutdown. Now, why a partial government shutdown? Because the other spending bills, the other minibus, which lumped together the other agencies and government departments, cleared Congress in the waning moments before there would have been a shutdown. And that happened on March 8th. So that was a full funding year through September. And now it's time to deal with the other funding. And hopefully, if they play their cards right, the House will pass it, and then it will go to the Senate, which could do one of two things. It could pass it in short order before the midnight deadline, or it could punt a little bit and work over the weekend. If it were to do that, and of course, nobody in Washington wants to work on the weekends, certainly not members of Congress. And the draw of the jet fuel from nearby Washington Reagan National Airport is very, very strong, especially on Friday afternoon. So my guess is they're not going to want to linger. So if they pass it on Friday, they can all go home. If they don't pass it on Friday, then there will be a short-term government shutdown, maybe just a number of hours, just enough to create a little bit of tension, but not enough for anybody to really notice before they do pass it, say, on Saturday. Now, I say this is a possible scenario because this has been something that has played out exactly like this before. And so, you know, history sometimes repeats itself, and it's very possible it will this time as well.
You know, nothing sharpens the mind like getaway day and the prospect of a multi-week recess for legislators. But, you know, I want to take a step back. We've got a few minutes left in our time together. We've had this conversation so many times talking about the politics, and there's a House Speaker who became a former House Speaker over this very issue. After all this back and forth and all this drama and these deadlines and missed deadlines and new deadlines, and has anything been achieved, really, in terms of advancing policy objectives for one party or another?
You know, actually, that's something that came up yesterday, or I should say Wednesday, in a hearing before the House Oversight Committee, which is trying to come up with the basis to impeach President Joe Biden. Democrats were very angry. They said, this is a do-nothing Congress. We have achieved nothing, and this investigation is achieving nothing. That your star witness has been discredited as a agent of Russia and is behind bars and says he lied about everything he said about Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. And they were very, very outspoken about that. They're like, why aren't we doing anything that's important to the American people? Why aren't we dealing with border security, for example, including immigration? You know, why aren't we dealing with other major issues such as Social Security, Medicare, and a host of other issues? Instead, they said, we are wasting time on an impeachment inquiry that has no basis in fact, and there's no laws that have been broken. Now, this, of course, was a partisan statement on the part of Democrats, but it's hard to ask any Republicans to go against this statement that they haven't really accomplished a lot. And if you look at just the fact that they can't even agree on government funding, that sort of cements that premise.
Well, we will see what happens with this funding. Hopefully we won't have to have this conversation again, at least not until maybe September of this year, if this actually passes. Briefly, about a minute left, anything else you're keeping your eye on that could be happening, substantively or politically?
Well, the president has signed another student loan forgiveness. 78,000 Americans are going to get their federal student loans canceled through a program that was the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. These are people who took out federal student loans and then worked in the public sector, your teachers, nurses, firefighters, et cetera. So this is a part of an effort, an ongoing effort by the president to try and extend student loan forgiveness, which is something that was beaten back by the courts and by some Republican lawmakers, but he has found a way to make it happen for a small, well, not even that small, sector of student loan borrowers. So I expect that we'll be having some more of that to come.
Linda Kenyon covers the Congress and Washington politics for our home-producing station, Illinois Public Media. Linda, great to talk with you as always. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.